Good morning, this is CKCU Litve News. I am Hans-Gorg Ruprecht. Last Saturday, June 21st, 2014, I was in the Leo Ebinger Memorial Hall in New Edinburgh in Ottawa. Well, listen to this. At the benefit concert for the Garlai School Africa Project, presented by the St. John Lutheran Church in collaboration with Friends for Peace. And you, Jesse Matthews, you are one of the co-organizers together with Ian Prattis. Thank you very much for having invited me to this great event. But please tell us all about its purpose.
Oh, thank you, Anne. Thank you for having me on your show. The Garlai School Project actually started in 2011 when I went to visit Liberia. There's a village where my parents came from. I actually went to see where my mother was born, right? And I, while visiting this village, I was approached by the chief that there was a desperate need for a school building. So I went over and I saw the school building. It was very devastated. Though there was a civil war that had lasted for 14 years, and this village never had a school building before the civil war even started. But anyway, long story, I was touched and I was moved by the condition which I saw the school building. So when I came back to Canada, I talked to my church, St. John Lutheran Church, to see if we could help put these kids in a better school building than, you know, than what they currently are attending. So the whole project has been around for 2 years. So what we're doing right now is we are looking for an NGO, either in Canada or in Liberia, to be able to start this project. So we're hoping that by October, we will be able to at least put some foundation on the ground because the school is falling apart. The kids have no hope at all.
For how many children will this be?
There was 300 students.
Is that right?
But due to the deterioration of the school, it's slowly deteriorating and most of the kids have dropped out because there's no roof, there's no chairs, and there's no window. So the kids can't go to school. So the very few kids that are currently attending, the number has now dropped down to about 150 kids. So this is why I decided to have this project with the help of my church, St. John Lutheran Church.
Together with Friends for Peace,
yes. An Ottawa-based organization that normally gave grants to people that are making a real difference in the lives of people. So tonight's event is not only supporting international organization, but also support locally as well.
Yes. So, Jesse, tell us about the various aspects of tonight's benefit concert. Who is there tonight?
We have a fantastic lineup. We have about four or five coming up. We have the Salvadoran Canadian guitarist. We have the Garana Arts. They are tabla youth. They play the rhythm from India. And then my group, Drum for Life.
Yes.
We play a rhythm of Afro-Cuban and West African. And then we have the Maramba Mana. They play rhythm from Zimbabwe. And then we have El Pugacito de America. It's a Salvadoran dance group. And then we have a storyteller called Joe. He's a fantastic storyteller. So it's going to be a fantastic evening tonight.
Well, thank you very much, Jesse. We will follow up informed. We stay in touch. And all the best for the project.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you very much, Jesse.
Thanks, Hans.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Yesterday, Joe Mayfield, My friends spend all day at the Aboriginal powwow teaching stories. Not just Aboriginal children, any children that happen to be there. And lay the stamp that the Aboriginal traditions in Canada are alive and well. My friend is a Métis. I refer to him as my brother. And he's going to tell us a story and take us on a journey. Please welcome Joe Mayfield.
Quite quiet. How's everybody doing? Yes, good. One thing that some of you know is that I'm 234 years old. Yes, but that's a story in itself. So today, amongst all the stories I could tell you, I've chosen one that happened to me when I was at the age of 13. And it's called The Hunt. Because in our traditions, hunting, we were hunter-carriers before the Europeans arrived. So the hunt for us has always been a very sacred ritual. So this is what I would like to share with you. One night, we were sitting around the table. I had just turned 13. And my father, who was also known as Mahingan in Algonquin means the wolf. He was a man that didn't talk very much. But when he talked, we listened. So one night, we're sitting around the table and my father says, Joe, come outside with me, I need to talk. What you can imagine was running through my head. What have I done? You know, am I in trouble? A typical 13-year-old. We went outside and he lit his pipe and he says, Joe, you're a man now. Tomorrow, I'm taking you hunting with me. I was so excited. I had spent years waiting for this opportunity to go out with my father, like he did with his father and my uncles, and to become a hunter in our tradition was really to step up and become a man. So I barely slept that night, I remember. And the next morning, before the sun rose, we were up. My mother had prepared all kinds of goodies for us, you know, some dried goose meat and some berries and some maple sugar. And we got into our birch bark canoe, because that was our way of traveling in those days. And also the rivers, well, that they were our highways. And I remember we went up a river called Arikana. And at one point we turned right and we ended up to a place called Moon's Lake, which means Moose Lake. We got there, we set up camp, and my father, as usual, took care of lighting the fire, and we set up comfortably. We put our hides, our skins around, and we sat in silence for a while. Then my father said, you remember your grandfather? Oh, I said, how could I forget my grandfather? He says, you know, your grandfather was born on a night where the sky was covered with northern lights. And when he was born, his father took him outside and he presented him to the Kichinanitu, the creator, and he thanked the creator for giving him a beautiful son. And then he took him and he looked into his eyes and he had these dark, dark eyes. And in his eyes, we could see the reflection of the northern lights. So they called him Wawate. And Wawate means northern light in Algonquin language. But that was a big name to carry when he was a little guy. So they would call him Wawatezi, which means firefly. It's because he had this light in his eyes. And he was curious, and he loved to meet new people. Wherever he went, he was always eager to meet people of different nations. So first thing you know, when he was old enough, he decided he wanted to go and explore the world. And he had heard of a people that lived way up north, where they had eternal ice. And he had heard that these people were different from our traditions. And he was curious, he just wanted to go up there. So he went up and he followed James Bay. And he made his way to a place that in those days they used to call Fort Chimo. Today it's still called the name of its origin, which is Kujawaq. And there he made a friend right away, because my grandfather was a real good hunter. And one night they're sitting out looking at the magnificent northern lights. And
there's this old cuckoo that shows up. And a cuckoo is a grandmother, and she was so old, you could barely see her eyes. She was squinting from all the reflections on the ice. And he said, shh, she's going to tell us a story. And with her shaky voice, she told him this story. She said, did you know that a long, long time ago, they say that it's the raven that created the world? And after he finished creating the mountains and the beautiful rivers and the lakes, the colors of turquoise and the ocean, he created the animals. He created the ones that fly, the creepy crawlers, the four-legged ones. And then eventually he created man. He created the humans. And after he finished creating all of this, he decided he wanted to experience his creation. He just created, but he didn't know anything about it. So he decided to explore it. And his favorite way of exploring was with his kayak. He got into his kayak, and all day he would slide and glide on the waters, and he would see the belugas and the walruses and the seals. And he was so impressed by the beauty of his creation. Then one day, he saw the biggest whale you can imagine. This whale was 10 times the length of this hall here. It was twice as high. This was an amazing whale. And then his first thought, he said to himself, I wonder what a whale looks like inside. Has any of you been inside a whale? No? No, I think there's always someone. But he decided to check it out for himself. And he was very patient. So he just stood there and he waited and waited and waited. And then eventually the whale yawned. And he took his kayak, went inside the whale, he got out, tied around one of the tubes, stepped on her tongue, ooh, that was fun, and he walked right inside the whale. Then all of a sudden the whale closed its mouth, and everything became dark. You know whales have a little spot on top of their head. So all of a sudden, the light, he could see. And he looked around him, and he was so moved. It looked like he was inside a temple. The ribs of the whale were like ivory columns going up. And he was so moved at the beauty, the silence. But then he heard the sound of a drum. So he followed the sound of the drum, and it took him right in the center of the whale. And there he saw the most beautiful girl you can imagine. He had never seen such a beauty before in his life. And he was totally smitten by her. And he walked up to her and he looked at her and said, wow, I'm the raven and I created the universe. That's a good line, eh, by the way. He says, I think you're so beautiful. I want to marry you, and I want to take you out in the world with me. And then she looked at him like this, and she went, ah. And then he looked, and he saw she had some strings attached to her wrist and some strings attached to her heels, and that these strings went all the way to the heart of the whale. And then she looked at him, and she said, I would love to go with you, but I am the heart and the soul of the whale. But if you want to stay, I'd be very happy. Oh, he said, okay. So he went to the side, and there he pulled his beak over his face, and there he saw a beautiful face of a man. And he put his feathers, and he put them over his arms, and he could see his hands and his arms, and he sat down and he watched her. And as she danced, when she danced quickly, the whale would splish and splash and play in the water. And when she danced more slowly, the whale would move slowly. And eventually, she danced so slowly that the whale fell asleep and closed its eyes. At that moment, the wind of the north came in through the spout, and he took a deep breath, and he felt so invigorated and so energized, and all of a sudden, he totally forgot what she had told him. He fell madly in love with her. He could see only her. He could only think of her. And he pulled his beak over his face, and he pulled his feathers over his arms, and he took a flight, and as he flew out, he grabbed her in his arms. And as he flew out of the whale, we heard the string snap. And then as he was going up in the heavens with the beautiful girl in his arms, he looked down and saw that the whale was thrashing about. Splish, splash. And eventually the waves took the whale and pushed it to the beach, and the whale was dead. And then he looked at the beautiful girl in his arms, and she got smaller and smaller and smaller, and then she disappeared. And it's at that moment that he realized that on earth, everything had a birth and a death. Everything had a beginning and an end. And he was so touched by what he had created, by what he had done, that he went to the beach where the whale was, and there he cried, and he cried, and he cried till he had no more tears. And then he danced, and he danced, and he danced, until his legs couldn't carry him anymore. And after all that, he started singing, and he sang, till all the pain was gone from his heart. And they say this was the first theater, the first dance, and the first song. And then he turned around, and all the animals had gathered, and all the humans had gathered. And he told them, I will always be there for you, for as long as you are there for each other. And remember that on earth, every creature, every living creature, has a heart and a soul. And my father lay back on his side, and I laid back also looking at the stars, thinking of this beautiful story he had shared. And I know that night I couldn't sleep. I was so moved, I was so touched. And the next morning we got up before sunrise, and it was time. This was the day. This was the day I was getting initiated to the hunt. And as we got close to the forest, my father told to me, close your eyes. And behind your eyelids, you're going to see an animal that's waiting for you. You're going to see a moose out there that is waiting for you. It took me a while to adjust because my mind was all over the place. But eventually, I followed my breath and I got very calm. And I saw this beautiful moose behind my eyelids. I walked into the forest, and all day I saw things differently. I'd never seen things like this before. Every animal, every creature I saw, from the little chipmunk to the owl on the branch, the squirrel, the skunk, all the animals looked different to me. I could feel that they had a heart and a soul. So towards the end of the day, as I got closer to a marsh area, and with the help of the wind, I got very, very close to this marsh, and there I saw this beautiful moose, the one I had seen in my vision. He had horns like this on him. And his head was bent, and he was eating lichen. And I felt him, I felt his passion. I felt his heart, I felt his soul. I was so moved by the majesty of this animal. And then I put him into the ground, and I took my bow and arrow, and I aimed at him. And for 1 second, I hesitated. And then he lifted his head, and he turned his head sideways, and he looked at me right in the eyes. And that's when I let go of my arrow. And I got him right to the heart, and he fell down. He didn't suffer. My father ran right away with me, and together we went there. He was so proud of me. And he took tobacco out of his pouch. And together we prayed, and we thanked the Creator. Thank the Creator for this life, for the life of this animal that had given its life to feed ours and to feed our family. This was a very powerful moment. This was where I understood that hunting in our tradition was a sacred act. I became a man that day because for the first time in my life, I looked into the eyes of an animal that gave its life for me. I had always had meat in my plate from my uncles, from my grandfather, from everyone, you know, but this was the first time. And that changed my life. So that day I decided, after we finished cleaning up and taking the animal out of the forest, we set up camp again, because nighttime was coming. And I remember, I took my drum. This was the drum that my grandfather, Wawate, had given to me when he had come to the end of his journey. I always remember, he came to me and he offered me his drum as he walked into the forest. We found him 2 days later, leaning on his favorite tree, a big birch tree like we don't see anymore. We used to call those canoe birch, because you could make a big canoe with one tree. And he was there, very peaceful. His journey was over. And I remember this beautiful story that he had passed on from our brothers, the Inuits. So I took my drum and I remembered a song he had taught me. It's a Mi'kmaq song. And it's a song of honor, to honor life. But also, more than anything, it's a song of gratitude. Gratitude for all the things that we have in our lives. You know, I think sometimes we forget, we take for granted all the things we have in this country of ours. So I'm going to sing this song, and I would love you to join me at one point.
That was CKCU Literary News, brought to you by the community-based campus radio of Carleton University in Ottawa, Canada. We can also be heard on stream and as podcast at carleton.ca/litnews. All our broadcasts are available on demand at ckcufm.com. Please follow us on Twitter at CKCU Lit News and on Facebook. Thank you for listening.